Oh, Roosters fans, what an atmosphere, what a game, what a performance by our mighty Roosters. Silky, last week, Australia's greatest day, and our team didn't let us down. Welcome to Roosters Radio. What a week.
It sure was, Bush. There was so much to like about that performance. 60 points to 18, that's right. It was a tri-fest if you were a Roosters fan. 10, in fact, and Sammy Walker kicked 10 from 10. I don't know how many times that's happened in NRL, Bush, but he was unbelievable with the boot. He was unbelievable with the ball in hand. He was just unbelievable.
He was. And I don't think anyone else but David Middleton can answer your question on that stat, but it would be interesting. I mean, look, not too many games over the years get to 60. You know, we've been on the receiving end as well, so we know what it's like. But hats off to our boys. We seem to have turned a corner. I think, you know, lots of talk through the week about the team, where we're going, hot and cold start. Season hasn't been consistent. Understandably, the fans wanted to see a turnaround, and turnaround they did. You know, Dragons took that first try, and as Roosters fans, we went, oh, they're up for it, which they always are. But then we just, as you you know, as you said, on the day, and I know you'll bring up today, we just started to take control, and then bang, kickoff. Wow.
What a way to set the tone, as Lindsay Collins would say. And it was breathtaking, wasn't it? Like, it was, like, I'm just trying to think of the right word.
Anzac, right. It's typical of an Anzac day.
But the whole crowd was silent. And he was in a bad way, Moses Sully. So, you know, shout out to Moses, because it was a bad knock.
And it's not good for anyone to say.
No. And, you know, with what's going on in the game at the moment, where they're trying to outlaw the kickoff. But, like, Jared just off the deck, went to play the ball. And it set the tone. It really, really did.
So I'm going to ask you a question. This has been on NRL 360. It's been on through the papers. You've got Buzz Rothfield and David Riccio really, really beating the drum for short kickoffs or a tap or an alternative. Mate, you strolled the sidelines you know, as a ball boy for many years and watched many of these collisions. I do understand the game's changed. We're more athletic. We're bigger, faster, stronger, fitter. But as a fan, and we are just representing the fans here, what's your take on if the NRL considered taking that out of the
game? Honest to God, mate, it takes away the fabric of the game. It takes away the collision. And it's a collision sport. And you know that when you start putting boots on, like I started playing at 3, right? And you, as you get older and you get more willing, you know, you get into a position where you got to do those tough carries. And mate, Lindsay Collins said it a couple of weeks ago on the show, like they get up for that. There's only a couple of players on the field that look forward to it, granted, but those that do, love it.
Yeah, but I think anyone that plays first, we all know, we didn't play first grade. We wanted to, and I'll tell you, we just weren't tough, and I wouldn't have been able to take that carry, and I don't think you would have either. I would have enjoyed it. I know they don't enjoy it, but they're tough enough to cop the hits. They're trained for it. That was a head clash last week, by the way, so let's call it for what it is. And if you watch, I watched James Graham on NRL 360.
It was a teammate shouldered him in.
It was a great insight. So for all those fans out there calling for the kickoff to be banned, let's talk about protecting the head, not banning the kickoff. The kickoff's not the problem. It's getting collisions and stuff, maybe three players going in. Maybe they're going to look at something differently, but it's a great topic, but they cannot take it out of the game.
Spot on, Bush. Let's get back to the footy. So where do you want to start?
Well, mate, where do you start? You start with Sam Walker, I guess, and he's our guest on today's show.
I cannot wait to speak to Sam. He had a couple of weeks off due to a head knock, and he came back with a 12 out of 10 performance.
Well, it had nothing to do with me, but I had the pleasure turning up here last week. Everyone should know we do our podcast each and every week at Roosters HQ at the Nick Politis Centre of Excellence. And walking in, I said to Sammy, I put my arm around him, and you know, we said hello, and I said, mate, can't wait for you to be back this week. Please tell me you're back. He goes, I actually am. I said, good, we've missed you. I said, can you just go out there and play like you're in the under sevens? And he laughed. He said, I'm going to try. Well, try he did. Mate, everything he saw, you know, just came off for him. He had the ball in hand. It came off. He had the ball on foot. It came off. He kicked 10 from 10. It came off. He's the Anzac Day medalist. What a performance. He led the team. He really did a great job, I thought. He stood up.
Well supported by Connor Watson. Well supported by Angus Crichton.
I think well supported by the whole team.
Yeah, but look, there were three standouts clearly for me.
Couldn't agree more.
Obviously, Sammy Walker was head and shoulders above the rest.
I don't think you can discount Natty Butcher.
No, but I think Connor Watson, you know, coming off the bench to replace Victor Radley.
Yep.
He was dynamic and some darting runs, support play, ball in hand. I know, that was brilliant.
Brian Fletcher-like.
It was a brilliant try. And then also, you know, Nat Butcher, that try he scored where he just wanted it more. He put his body on the line.
Absolutely.
The St. George number one, he wanted nothing to do with it. That was a statement in itself. And the other one I said was Angus Crichton, who consistently has been one of our best forwards for probably the past month.
I think Angus has been making a statement. It's well documented. Angus has had some struggles over the past couple of years, you know, with mental health and different things. but he seemed to have come through it. He seems to be the Angus of old, and he's really, really knocking on the door. He's not contracted for next year, so it'll be really interesting to see. You know, Angus has put his resume in. Let's see what happens.
Bush, another special mention, Brandon Smith, out of dummy half. I've said it on a few podcasts this season. We look most dangerous and we're at our best when we're going through the middle with support play. If I harp back to the Melbourne game, and in particular that 10 minutes where Munster was on the sideline, you know, it was one out stuff and it didn't look good, right? We didn't play bad that week, but it wasn't the way to beat Melbourne. This week, go back through the tries, you know, be it the flick pass from Egan or, you know, as you said, the Connor Watson short ball. Robbo's talked about support, and he talks about supports a lot when he's in the dressing room. The support play was back. You know, we're starting to turn the ball back inside, and that's where your Teddies come into play, and blokes like, you know, Sammy Walker, who we'll talk to in a minute. But we're asking questions of the defence, turn the ball back inside. That's where, you know, the bigger players start to get a bit lazy or tired, fatigue sets in. That's how you win football games.
And I think all Roosters fans rejoiced when we got Brandon Smith from Melbourne, and it probably took him a little while to settle in. But what we've seen so far this season from Brandon is the player that we bought from Melbourne and the player that we wanted there, and he's been amazing.
Gets us going forward, mate.
Gets us going forward. He keeps him guessing. He's ducking out of dummy half. His defence is exceptional. He competes for the ball. There was a ball there on the weekend that he dived on that, honestly, he put his body on the line. It was great to see. So hats off to Brandon. Long may his form continue.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, Silky, I tell you what, we also have got to mention this week. It's a huge point announcement made by one of our long-time servants and someone close to our heart. You know, we've had the pleasure of player sponsoring Luke Keary since his inception as a Rooster, and it's been a great pleasure. He's such a great man off the field. We got to know him a little bit, but he's been a great supporter of this show. But he's been a great servant to the Roosters. You know, who can forget winning the
Clive Churchill
medal in the grand final, and he took control where, you know, Cooper Cronk had one arm. Who can forget, you know, back-to-back grand finals? You know, he's been part of such a great team and done so many great things for this club. So on behalf of Roosters Radio and ourselves, our own businesses, Radio Hub and Fit Services, we want to wish Luke the best. We know he's going to be a huge success off the field because, you know, he's done so many things to you know, improve his life after football. And he's just a super intelligent guy.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Bush. There's a great video that Luke's recorded that you can see up on the Roosters website where he thanks everyone here at the club.
Except you.
He didn't thank us. You know, we have been supporting him since he got here. But, you know, we've got over that, Luke.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, wish him all the best. And let's make sure he finishes this season on a high note.
Well, on a high note, Silky is going to be talking to Sam Walker. He's our special guest this week. Can't wait to have him on Roosters Radio.
And he'll be joining us right after this break.
Well, Roosters fans, as promised, every week we get the best players on Roosters Radio, and you only had to be out at Anzac game last week at Allianz Stadium, and the best player on the field, well, he's joined us right now. I'll tell you what else he did, Silky. He sported a new look, and he's been growing.
Ravishing.
Absolutely. Sammy Walker, welcome to Roosters Radio, and welcome to the beard. It's got its own identity.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mates, yesterday on Roosters TV, roving young reporter Benji James interviewed you about the beard. You were on Matty Johns talking about the beard. So we thought, why not ask you a question on Roosters Radio? You got a burning question, haven't you?
Well, look, I've been doing my research and as a true Roosters fan, and I've been going back through the annuals, and I'm stuck because Roosters through the history have had Mo's, but not too many beards. So I can remember Peter Moscat from the 70s. He was a bearded man.
Hooker.
Yeah, the Cleal brothers, Crusher, and his big older brother, Les.
Yeah, second row.
They were bearded players. But, mate, I can't think of too many particularly recent players that have donned the beard. So
possibly only Nate Miles.
Nate Miles?
Had a little
really?
Beard. Yeah, had a little beard.
But, Queenslanders, see? Queenslanders.
It's a Queenslander.
We can actually grow beards.
But it's here to stay.
Yep. Nah, it's I sort of had a little thing going at the start of the year. Just I was going to shave on every game day, and then obviously missed those sort of couple of weeks there, and so I let it go a little bit, and I was just planning on sort of shaving on game day, and I think I had maybe probably 3 weeks of growth there, and I just decided on game day it was a bit of a mixed opinions from a fair few people, but yeah, no, I sort of just got used to it, and thought I'd just keep it for a game and see how it went, and hopefully grow it out a little bit longer now.
Well, the most important person, mate, when it comes to these looks, particularly facial hair, is your mum. What'd your old lady say? Not a fan?
No, she didn't mind it, I don't think. I actually don't think I've really asked her. She was away in Melbourne over the weekend, but yeah, I'm sure she'll be okay with it. I don't think the old man liked it too much. My partner didn't mind it, so it was a bit of everyone. It was a bit, like I said, mixed opinions on it.
Are you surprised, Sammy, how much attention it got? You know, I watched it straight after the game. Our sister show, the Matty John show, comment on it. You know, young Benji, did you get a bit of a surprise at the attention?
Yeah, I think when you're look at it like sort of a young sort of kid, I guess, and never really had facial hair. I guess I was usually clean shave on game day. So when the cameras are on, and yeah, I think just that surprise of it all was probably, yeah, the big one.
I thought for Roosters fans, you know, if we can speak on behalf of the fans, which we do, you are young. You debuted in 2021 and you are a young man, and we just thought, wow, Sammy Walker, he's a man.
Well, we thought it had something to do with what they're putting in the chickens at the Char. You know, we know the boys get well fed here on Tuesdays.
Can talk to Phil about that.
But now let's talk a bit of football, Bush, because, last week on Anzac Day, it was a performance for the ages, 10 tries to the Roosters, 10 goals from yourself. You had a hand in a fair few of them, mate. As a fan, we were out there watching it. I didn't see that coming. I'm pretty sure you guys didn't either.
Yeah, it was obviously such a special day, that sort of Anzac Day game. And, yeah, I think the boys, throughout that week, we did a fair few things to to show us what it's all about and why we sort of why we play this special day and why it means so much to everyone in Australia and New Zealand as well. And yeah, for us to go out there and do what we did and represent that sort of that Anzac Day spirit was something really special and something we're really proud of.
Sammy, before we touch on your performance and the team's performance on the day, you visited the Victoria Barracks here at Paddington through the week. Coach Robinson is always tossing up so many amazing things for the players to really, I suppose, emerge themselves or, engulf themselves in the occasion. What did it mean to you, and does it have a family history to you or something special? It's special to everyone for different reasons, but what does Anzac Day mean to Sam Walker?
Yeah, I think just that, we obviously got to have a look and experience that sort of firsthand. The people, speak to a few people that, sacrificed so much for our great country, and, just that understanding, I guess, that, we wouldn't be able to go out there and do what we did without, the sacrifices of so many lives there, and, just so special to be able to do it on such a special day.
Yeah, and it was a special day. Sammy, what was special is the atmosphere. You ran out in front of 47,000 fans. It was a Dragons home game littered with Roosters. What's that like for a player to run out in front of a crowd and a cauldron like that? And they wanted Anzac Day blood, both sides. What's it feel like?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, I guess. It's easily the biggest round game of the year for us as a team, and yeah, I think it's really cool to be able to go out there and experience that and be able to do it at home at the Allianz Stadium there in front of all our fans. Obviously it was a Dragons game, a home game, but it really, with the fans that came along, it really felt like it was still our home game, and it was really good.
Just on that, they got the first try, but after that we took the fans out of it. I thought it was, we were both here Bush watching, but once we started and got on a roll, they were leaving at halftime, half the Dragons fans. So it ended up being predominantly Roosters fans here that suck around at the end for the presentation and everything else.
Yeah, well, speaking of getting on a roll, mate, that first carry. I mean, what does it do to a player? You and Luke need to be playing off the back of great go forward. We know that, and you're so crafty, and what you can do with the footballs, we marvel at. But it doesn't happen without good go forward. Starts off with JWH, probably, going to end up being one of our greatest ever Roosters, if not the greatest Rooster player of all time. Can I say this? What's it like to stand behind that and watch that?
Yeah, it was crazy. I think that sort of started the game, trying to get into a bit of a rhythm of the game, and he just set the tone there for us as a team, and we all jumped off the back of that the start of the game, and for him to go out there and not even show any emotion or anything after the hit there was something really special, and it really drove us forward and set a really good platform.
Yeah, look, all due respect, it was an unfortunate head clash, but he actually got clipped himself, so it just shows how tough he is. Sammy, I noticed that you sometimes get in and take a few tough carries, and sometimes off the kickoff, a half or 5-8 can get caught with the ball. What's it like watching the opposition coming from, 50 metres sprint to come down? Does it just feel like a volcano's erupted?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be goal kicking, so I'm in the front line there. Yep. Hoping they don't do any short kickoffs. But I know Kez has been called out a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to stand back there and catch him. And a couple of the high kicks that he sort of run onto, he ends up getting jammed there a few times. I know he doesn't like that, but I'm lucky enough to be in the front line there.
Sammy, we spoke to Lindsay a couple of weeks ago. He's another one of our big men that love that contact and love that hit up. there's been a fair bit written and said recently about taking it out of the game. As someone who's playing the game, can you imagine rugby league without that first carry?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, you don't want to see sort of what happened. You know, I feel very sorry for, you know, Moses Suli there, the first run of the game there. But yeah, like you said, it's a tough area there, because you know you love to see it, and it really starts off the game like really uniquely. I guess no other sport does it like we do, and yeah, it's just a bit of a tough one there. But you know, I'm obviously enjoy the hit up carry and gets everyone going.
Sammy, I mean, you know, you're not big in stature by any means, but you're courageous in heart. So is Luke Keary. To be respectful, so was Kyle Flanagan and Ben Hunt. But you absolutely ragdoll Kyle. Was that something that you've been working on? Is it nice for you to come up against contact your own size, or do you want to take on the big boys? Because you pull them down too.
Yeah, I think it was just, I think he just got a bit of a hospital pass there, and I was able to sort of shut the play down. But I prefer if they were all about that size in the game, that's for sure.
Let's talk about your game, because it was one for the ages. I mean, I don't know where to start, but one of my favourite plays was that kick down the short side for Joey to score. Did you see that Sloan was out? Like, I mean, people often comment about you as being a heads-up footballer, and that's a great example of you just playing heads-up, seeing what's there or not there and just going with it. It was I just love that try, but... Yeah, I mean, if I just go back to your game, you just felt like you were in sync. You were touching. You had a lot of touches. You were kind of the general, as it were, directing traffic. At what stage of the game do you feel like you're in sync and this is your game?
Yeah, I think it's not a hard one to sort of get up for that that Anzac Day game. And yeah, I think it was just being really clear on how I wanted to play, and backing my skills and whatever I sort of see on that field and going after it. And yeah, I was lucky enough that it sort of came off. And yeah, I think when that chip and chase for Joey, I seen Sloan make the tackle, obviously, and he was sort of stuck on the ground and sort of in behind me almost, like boxed him in almost. And then yeah, once I got the defence to come up, it was just sort of that open space behind there. So
at that time, like everything you touched came off. Like, is there a moment in time in the game where you went, "This is my this I'm owning this game," because it felt like from that moment on you were in everything.
Yeah, I think you can sort of get a bit of confidence, I guess, a bit of a boost out of, you know, starting off the game really well. And yeah, I think that sort of definitely propelled the rest of the game and gave me a lot of confidence to go out there and play what I see. And yeah, I was lucky enough it sort of all came off on the weekend.
Sammy, you're from a famous footballing family. Silky and I had the pleasure of knowing your dad and your uncles, and met him over the years. But is that how you were coached as a kid? Because you are unstructured, you know, to be able to be let to do your job and just get the footy and do what you think. Fans love it. It's a great thing to watch. But is that how you were coached as a kid by your famous footballing family?
Yeah, definitely. I think I sort of grew up until probably, you know, I was sort of 17, 18, not knowing a single, you know, single footy play really. Like, it's just sort of go out there and, you know, run to space or pass to space and kick, I guess, kick as well to space and just play what you sort of see. And basically just look up every tackle and take every opportunity that sort of presents itself. And yeah, I think they really encouraged me and, you know, guided me in that way to play footy. And yeah, it's been a journey, I guess, through the NRL and trying to fit both styles of footy into the NRL. And yeah, I feel like I'm on a good path though.
Who gives the best advice? Dad, Uncle Chris, Uncle Shane, who do you think? It's always hard listening to your old man till you retire.
Nah, probably my pop, I'd go.
Good. Yeah, good. What does Pop say to you after a game? Does he give you a bit of a critique?
He's a bit calmer and a bit more settled than the rest of them.
And he loves his footy, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. No, he's the best out of all them, I reckon.
Yeah, he'd be super proud.
Sam, you've hit a rich vein of form, but obviously last year it was a tough season. Probably personally, if you had a few injury setbacks, you know, you got dropped. What did you learn from that you brought into 2024?
Yeah, I guess it was sort of a tough year last year. And yeah, I think I just really try to focus on having a really good preseason, and that's sort of the baseline for the whole season. And yeah, I think like sort of just based off that and working on my little areas in my game. So I know that, you know, if it comes down to the wire, I know I'm really confident on, you know, kicking a field goal, all those little areas of the game, and, you know, my vision, all that sort of stuff I'm really, really comfortable with. But I guess it's just all the little stuff in the game, my kicking, my defence, and my support as well. I think that just working really hard on those sort of areas, those fundamental areas, and then letting the rest of my game sort of work off the back of that.
Talking about your kicking, I mean, 10 from 10, that's not done that often. And I know, first of all, we understand that, you know, 10 tries in a game is probably a rare game. We get that. But to be able to kick 10 goals, what's going through your mind and the vision? Because I watch you closely when your goal kick is one of my favourite things. And you're always setting yourself up the same way. And I reckon I can tell when you're going to kick it. And the other day, it was almost like you were just laser focused, like a SWAT team. How does it feel? What's going through your mind when you kick? What are you saying to yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to be really clear with my my approach, taking the time to set it up. I can, you know, sometimes, you know, rush it and not be completely happy with how the ball's set up. And so I think just taking that extra second to sort of make sure everything's fine. I've got my routine that I go through, you know, every time. It's the exact same. And, yeah, go back. And, yeah, I think just being really clear with myself, head down, follow through, look at the line I want to go through to. And, yeah, I think, you know, you really build confidence on your first sort of kick or two. And, yeah, I think my first one was from the sideline. And I think that really – you know, that can really change a game as well. I think if you kick that or if you miss that, it sort of, you know, your confidence can vary from there.
So, Sam, plenty of young kids listen to this show, right? And I know when you listen to some of the great players, be it a Michael Jordan or a Tiger Woods, they talk about, you know, Tiger Woods would often talk about hitting 1,000 golf balls, some putts, some chips, some drives, so on and so forth. When it comes to goal kicking, how much time do you have to put in to be able to have a day like that where you kick 10 out of 10?
Yeah, I think you spend a lot of time, I guess, pre-season, those times when you have a bit more time to yourself to kick. And then I definitely set away at least once a week to really, you know, hone in on my kicking and, you know, focus on that and feel really comfortable from all the spots that I have to work on. And but yeah, it's definitely at least once a week where you're just focusing purely on your goal kicking. And obviously that little time before the game as well, which I think is pretty important for myself, just to get a feel of the atmosphere, what it's going to be like, the grass, all that sort of stuff, where you got to try and, you know, it's different at all fields. And, you know, I really value my sort of, probably, I was probably only sort of six kicks before a game, but, you know, that's really important to me as well.
Sammy, do you block the crowd out? You can hear people yelling at all sorts of different things. I know you're focused, but do you kind of hear him subconsciously and have a bit of a smile or a smirk?
Yeah, sometimes I have a little laugh. Someone will say something about, you know, the ball's not adjusted properly, or I'll yell at something to you, and yeah, I always have a little giggle to myself. But, you know, it's anyone that says they don't hear it, they're lying to you.
Yeah, I thought
they're
so.
Lying.
I want to give
the
you
SCG
little...
was all right when it was the yeah, crowds were a fair way yeah. away, but it's something I really enjoy, and I think just that. Probably own in that moment. I think my first year I didn't kick too well, and it was probably, I think it was sort of swapping the kick in when Seawell or someone would come on, or if Adam Kieran was playing, that sort of stuff. And I think just that next year, I think the fact that just owning the kicking, knowing that it's mine,
absolutely.
Being really, you know, really comfortable and really confident that, yeah, it's my job and that I want to take that.
State of Origin just around the corner. Have you had a phone call from Mr. Slater or... any of the big dogs up there?
Nah, I think...
You wouldn't tell us anyway, would you?
Nah, it's obviously one good game against the Dragons there, but, you know, I'm really, you know, really focused on just trying to play the best footy for the Roosters. It's you know, it's been a bit of a not a rocky, it's a bit of a up and down start to the year, I think. You know, we probably haven't got that consistency that we want yet, and, you know, it'll be a big game this week against the Broncos, but... I think for myself, I just want to play the best footy that I can for this club here, and you know, I think all that other stuff will sort of take care of itself off the back of that.
Oh, we know where you're headed, but little fun fact, Sammy, what Silky may not know, you might follow Victor England. You were born in the UK when your dad was playing over there, so you ever thought about you know, pledging allegiance to the old Dart and saying see ya, Billy?
Nah, I'm pretty proud Queenslander.
You are.
You know, obviously my family are all Queenslanders. My uncles represented them, you know, proudly, and
yes.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty.
They'll
pretty
put a
happy
statue at Ipswich, wouldn't they? If you can play,
mate, it's not. Look, we know it's coming for you, and obviously, you know, it's something that we as Roosters fans love to see your growth, because that's a next and a whole new set of learnings. You know, it's great.
Moving on, Friday night, you just touched on it, blockbuster against the Broncos. We got the cash, you know, in round one, up at home, different story. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's almost giving me goosebumps now thinking that. I can't wait to get up there. And if it's not Allianz, it's Suncorp's my favourite sort of place to play. And, you know, going back there, I've had mates and family and people coming out of the woodworks to try and, you know, get tickets and come to the game. And I love it. It's awesome. I know how passionate, you know, Queenslanders are for their footy. And, yeah, I honestly can't wait to get up there and play.
Is it because, you know, you've got family and friends up there that it means more to you? Or is it the fact that playing at Suncorp, it's such a great place not only to play football but to watch it, that you're on top of it? You know, what is it that makes it special? Or is it just the fact that it's the Broncos?
I think it's a bit of everything, really. It's obviously an unbelievable stadium to play out there. Mm. You know, it's I basically grew up around there. I'm about half an hour away from Brizzy, out at Ipswich there. And yeah, I think when you're living at Ipswich and you're playing out at like Norse Tigers, my local club there, all you dream of is playing at Suncorp in front of, you know, a packed house there. And you know, I honestly can't wait to get up there and play. I think it was the first, you know, probably big ground I played at as well. I played on this 18s Queensland game or something there. And, yeah, it's always got a special place in my heart, and I know my family and friends and, you know, everyone sort of that I know from back home can't wait to be out there.
Sammy, you come through the Broncos system until, you know, the Roosters brought you down here as, you know, the most talented, you know, player in the country at your age by far. You talk about being a one-club man. Is this the one club for you, do you think? Or
Yeah, no, I've really found a home. I think my first year or so was obviously tough with COVID and moving away from family and friends, not being able to see them near as much as I'd like, but I'm feeling really comfortable and really confident at this club now. And you know, I've made some really, really close friends, not just at the club, but sort of in Sydney now as well. And I'm definitely loving it here now.
As a fan, you just look so confident, so mature. I mean, mate, you are mature. You know, you're a young man by rugby league standards. By the same token, you're such an old head. You seem to have really grown in the last, you know, 12 months. Would that be a fair statement? Because you seem to own it now. You really actually own your identity. You're the Roosters halfback. That's your role. You're the kicker, and it's great to watch. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, definitely. I think, it's tough coming in. First year, I was probably pretty chaotic, which was good as well. You know, that's how I've always played. And I think it was just that first year trying to understand it, being a halfback and trying to play my game and tell players where to be and where to go and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, I still felt really good that obviously my first couple of years, but now, you know, the longer I've been here, the more comfortable I'm starting to feel, and it's starting to become, you know, starting to become a lot more comfortable for me, and I'm sort of molded into that role a lot more. And I think I'm really trying to find, like, I think I'm really finding that balance between the sort of two styles. And yeah, like I said, we've just got to try and find that consistency in that throughout the next sort of couple of weeks and months, and you know, start humming towards that back end of the year like we always do.
Now, Sam, it was a sad day a couple of days back, you know, particularly for Bush and I, and no doubt for yourself, when Luke Keary made his announcement this is going to be his final year at the club. We've sponsored Luke since he arrived at the club way back in 2017. When you heard the news, you know, how'd you feel?
Yeah, it's obviously tough. I guess I've played a lot of my first grade next to him now. It's been you know, a couple of years now that I've been partnering up with him and rooming with him, and it's been awesome. He's taught me so much. Ever since I sort of came down to the club, he's, you know, looked after me, yeah, helped me with my game, developing my game, not just the way I play, but also how the Roosters play. And yeah, it'll definitely be different next year running into preseason without him. I know he's looking forward to getting out of preseason, that's for sure. But it's definitely gonna be a big change on having Kez there.
Did you have an inkling that was gonna happen? I mean, at the start of the season, I know he re-signed, but the announcement, did you see it coming? Certainly, as fans, we didn't.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, he re-signed and stuff, and definitely didn't see it sort of coming there. But yeah, just speaking to him and stuff, he's, you know, really, you know, comfortable in his decision, and you know, I'm really happy for him, and you know, what sort of footy, what it looks like after footy for him, and you know, he's done so much away from footy as well, and getting degrees, and you know, worked really hard away from it. So you know, I know he'll set himself up and his family up really well.
It'd be a great success. We've been great pleasure to sponsor him, and he's become someone we consider a friend. Sammy, talk about away from footy. What does Sam Walker like to do away from football? What do you do to relax, to get away from the eyes and ears of rugby league that seems to give so much so focus for all fans?
Yeah, I enjoy playing a lot of golf. I play as much golf as I sort of can. Get out there. I remember back home in Queensland, so I don't get to play there too much. But if we sort of get a bit of time off or the off season, I'd spend in the off season probably 6 days a week playing golf.
Yeah, what are you playing off?
I was into 9. I'm out to 12 now though. But
how get your cash out, Silk?
I'm trying to get further out so I start playing for more money.
He's a burglar.
Who's the best golfer on the side that you play against?
Oh, Keary's probably the best, I'd say. He's off.
Teddy goes all right too, doesn't he?
Yeah, his short game's very good. His driving can be a bit wayward sometimes.
Tries to hit it too hard.
I don't know what it is. He's got that nice putter and nice chip on him, but anytime he has to get a full swing, it's a little bit.
Slicer or is he?
I don't know. It's a bit of everything, to be honest.
Sounds like you, Cooper.
Yeah, true.
Sammy, mate, we've really enjoyed having you on. It's always some great insights. We're loving your form at the moment, and we just want to say thanks so much for being a great friend of the show. It started back in the World Club Championships where you're sneaking croissants to Silky and I before the bus.
He was carrying the mascot.
Well, they wouldn't let him play because he was too young.
You had to sit next to Jared, didn't you? Jared and Orbo back then.
I think Orbo was my roommate.
Yeah, that's right.
And here's what I say. The best footballer on that trip was sitting in the sidelines next to us because he wasn't allowed to play. The NRL wouldn't let him because he was too young. So, mate, honestly, thank you so much for spending time. It's always a pleasure to have you on Roosters Radio.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate. Welcome back to Roosters Radio and Bush. 8 p.m. Friday night up there at Suncorp. Roosters taking on the Broncos. This will be a match for the ages, Bush. How do you see it?
Yeah, full house Broncos fans are going to be everywhere. It's going to be just as good as the Anzac Day game. It's going to be just as exciting. Mate, we're outsiders here on the Unibet markets, but I can tell you right, we're not outsiders in the way the game's going to go. I think we are going to go up there and make a statement. We turned the corner in consistency so far with a big win last week. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but I think the boys have got a spring in their step, the confidence. I think last week they put together the game they know they're capable of. If you look at some of the programs on Fox during the week talking about Roosters are the real deal, they are the real deal. They're going to show it. It's going to be Roosters 22, Broncos 20.
Well, you can see how excited Sam Walker is. We're still a couple of sleeps away, and he's already chomping at the bit. Look, Michael Jennings is out of the side this week, so we see the return of Daniel Tupu. I also see that there's quite a few wins for the Broncos. Ezra Mann back, Selwyn Cobbo. So as per program, Bush, both sides are pretty much at full strength. We're still waiting to see. Hopefully Victor Radley may play in the number 13 jumper, so fingers crossed there. But look, all that aside, we were dominant in that first match over there in the States. Beware the fullback. That's what I say. I just love watching him play.
He's a great player.
Reece Walsh. But, they need to be careful of him, of course. They've got strike power right across the park, as I said, with Ezra Mann back in Selwyn Cobbo. You know, the wingers are flying as well. But we're going to have to beat our best to beat them.
Give me a score prediction.
I'm going to say Roosters 18, Broncos 14.
Yeah, nice little score prediction. Well, that's all we've got time for on Roosters Radio this week. We want to thank our special guest, Sammy Walker, for coming on and joining us on this week's show. And as we always say on Roosters Radio, East to win.